I'm Frank Vaughn. It's March 7th, 2025, and every single day we get on camera and we try to tell the truth about this country. We put receipts all through the videos. We provide the source documentation, and if I could, I would get you to watch this video. It's 20 minutes long, but this is a really good primer on the scale of crime in Canada. If I could get you to watch one other video, it would be yesterday's, and it's 55 minutes. But the fact is, you're not going to understand the world accurately if all you're doing is flipping through your Google News Reader and reading headlines. You're being misled, and I prove it categorically, and I am desperate to reach people. So if you want to start out, watch this one or watch this one. Pretty much all day yesterday, I kept asking the same questions in various forms, which is, why does the world know that Canada is an international crime and money laundering and terrorism hub, but somehow the Canadian public doesn't know? Why doesn't the media? Why don't our politicians, who all unify around their messaging, why don't they tell us the truth? Happy Happy says, because too many Canadians benefit from the status quo. Without the fentanyl investment, the Canadian economy is non-existent. It is what's driving the economy. It's an inconvenient truth. And it is the truth. The size of the illicit market in Canada is somewhere between 12 and 25% of our GDP. Why aren't they telling you this truth? Again, the videos I highlighted will put paid to that. It's a proven, demonstrable fact, and we're going to prove it more today. And you can find those videos by going to my YouTube page or going to my website and navigating, looking for those thumbnails. They're within the last 3 weeks. It won't take you long to find them. Just put in a little bit of effort. This, the United States Department of State, Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, International Narcotics Control Strategy Report. We go down to page 73. Canada, overview. Money laundering activities in Canada involve the proceeds of illegal drug trafficking, fraud, corruption, counterfeiting, and piracy, and tobacco smuggling and trafficking, among others. Foreign-generated proceeds of crime are laundered in Canada, and professional, third-party money laundering is a key concern. Transnational, organized crime groups, and professional money launderers are key threat actors. Although the legislative framework does not allow law enforcement to have direct access to Canada's FIU databases, so the people who are interested in actually doing something about this are kept out of our internal affairs, because Canada, including Team Canada right now, are unifying to defend the criminality in Canada. That's what they're doing. Rather than admit the scale, rather than get in front of cameras and do media spots, do press conferences talking about how this is a real problem, doesn't matter if it's Trudeau or Carney or Freeland or Ford or Poilievre or even Bernier, they're not telling you about the scale of corruption in Canada, and you should be asking why. Money is laundered via several mediums, including bulk cash smuggling, MSBs, currency exchanges, casinos, real estate, wire transfers, offshore corporations, credit cards, foreign accounts, funnel accounts, hawala networks, I don't even know what that is yet, and the use of digital currency. The illicit drug market in Canada is the largest criminal market in our country. The biggest one, the one that drives the money laundering, underlying everything, is the money the drug market makes. And your politicians and your media and some of your influencers get on camera and they have the audacity to suggest that it is non-existent or that it's 1% of the problem. They're lying to you. And so if we transnational organized crime groups represent the most threatening and sophisticated actors in the Canadian market, given their access to professional money launderers and facilitators in Canada and their use of various money laundering methods to shield their illicit activity from detection of authorities. We go back to page one. This was released March 2019. It's been known for a long time. If our politicians and our global leaders have been talking about the vast and massive scale of the problem in Canada for years, going all the way back to Project Sidewinder, which was four decades ago, why are they telling you it doesn't exist now? Here's the government itself. Canada looks to stop fentanyl from China. Canadian Press, 2016. Who are they talking about? Canada needs international help. We can't do it on our own. International help. That's what that means. In staunching the flow of deadly fentanyl from China, Public Safety Minister, Saskatchewan's own Ralph Goodale, said Thursday after meeting with BC Premier Christy Clark about the country's escalating opioid epidemic. Goodale, Health Minister Jane Philpott, who Trudeau unceremoniously fired because she said the wrong things, he loves to ride roughshod over females, and Clark's BC delegation met in Ottawa ahead of a two-day summit that will bring together medical professionals and experts from across the country. The world has to take this seriously, just as we are taking it seriously. Do you think the situation as regards drugs has gotten better in the last 9 years from 2016 to 2025? Do you think it's improved? Look around. The evidence of your eyes would suggest otherwise. You see it all over your streets. You see it in your crime reports. And yet they have the audacity to try and tell you that it doesn't actually exist and it's only small. They bust labs with billion-dollar capacities. Billion, not million, billion-dollar capacities. And they say it's just small. They bust a lab of a massive scale and size, and they only charge one person. Somehow they can't find anybody else that was involved in it. That guy's doing distribution. He's doing production. He's doing packaging. He's a miracle worker. We should hire him to solve all our problems because, man, what a worker he is. He's just the fall guy, probably the janitor that was sleeping the floors. The problem is massive. Ralph Goodale and the government knew it 10 years ago. Why are we denying what Trump is saying today? He's calling us out for our vast, internationally renowned crime network. In spite of the clear and demonstrable backdrop that I've provided in my video work about the extent of the knowledge of this problem going back in time, here's BBC. Most fentanyl enters the U.S. via Mexico, and they cite this almost 98% number and this stupid graph that I keep seeing. This is pure propaganda. Less than 1% was seized across the northern border with Canada. They're talking about seizures. They're not talking about the amount that gets through. The seizures are huge, but seizures are not a way to measure the size of market. The mega labs that are being busted is one measure. The fact that the CBSA says the ports are wide open is another measure. The fact that Canadian produced drugs end up in Australia and Europe in large scale. Most of the drugs in Australia come from Canada. Again, a fact I put paid to in my other videos. Now, just so that you understand, this is the BBC. They're flying cover for the Canadian government over in Europe. And since we're dealing with Europe, let's read through some of the documents and summaries that I've been looking at. EU Drug Markets Report 2022. This is from Europol. Notes Canada is a key producer of synthetic drugs supplied to the North American market and the world, with some trafficking routes impacting Europe. The European Drug Market Report of 2023 mentions Canada's role in the global supply chain of synthetic drugs, with indirect references to trafficking networks extending to European markets. The EU Drug Markets In-Depth Analysis of 2021 highlights Canada as a source country for ecstasy and methamphetamine, with organized crime groups facilitating distribution to international markets, including but not limited to Europe. Europol Serious and Organized Crime Threat Assessment 2021 identifies Canada as a hub for synthetic drug production. We're a manufacturing hub. We don't make anything else. We make drugs, with Asian organized crime groups operating labs that supply Europe via transatlantic routes. The triads that I've been talking about, the cartel-linked triads I've been talking about that run this country. EU-Canada Cooperation on Organized Crime 2019 references joint operations targeting drug trafficking from Canada to Europe, emphasizing Canada's role in methamphetamine and fentanyl precursor exports. So we don't just, and this is the thing with when I talked in previous videos about Australia, we don't just export the finished product. We also bring in the precursor ingredients into Canada. We do some pre-mixing, so we prepare chemicals for the final production, and we ship those to the world so that the finishing can be done in other countries. Isn't that brilliant? Isn't Canada great? Europol Operation Archimedes Report 2014, so we have a history going back a long way, mentions Canada in historical context as a source of drugs seized in Europe, with ongoing relevance in later drug market analysis. Again, from Project Sidewinder all the way forward. We know that Canada's been doing this for 40 years, yet your politicians, your leaders, and your influencers have the nerve to get on camera and lie to you and say that we are a small percentage of the problem. We are a clearinghouse. I've proven it. Council of the European Union, Horizontal Working Party on Drugs, the 2023 minutes discuss Canada's narcotics production in the context of global drug threats, though not publicly detailed. Summary reflects Canada's prominence in synthetic drug supply chains. It has restricted access. I'm not going to tell you how I got it. But the fact is, they're discussing it in private meetings, how Canada is, again, prominent in the synthetic drug supply chain of the world in their private meetings, which are never meant to be seen by public eyes. That's the fact. So the point being, even from a European perspective, the mainstream media is lying to you about Canada. They're flying cover for the Canadian government, for the corruption in Canada. Why are they doing that? Maybe because it's so international in scale that it takes in a lot more people than your average street dealer. U.S. deems Canada a major money laundering country as gangs exploit weak law enforcement. This is from April 2nd, 2019. Do you think it's gotten better or do you think it's gotten worse? Canada's anti-money laundering regime even has the big banks worried. This is a puff piece which talks about the banks in the wake of TD Bank. We'll just wait for this to load. In the wake of TD Bank having to pay $3 billion and face an asset cap to resolve U.S. money laundering probe. It's not a money laundering probe. Again, puff piece. The headlines themselves are even misleading. TD got caught red-handed. Probably wouldn't have gotten caught except for whistleblowers. They got caught red-handed laundering massive amounts of illicit money coming from the underground economy in the United States. They got busted and they got fined and nobody went to jail. All of these things have something in common. They're puff pieces. So the Canadian banks are worried that it's the regulatory regime is too restrictive, too much reporting requirement, even though we need stricter enforcement to actually tackle this problem. But the part that I wanted to highlight is Canada has this organization called FinTrack. FinTrack is anybody who's ever made a purchase over $10,000, you know who FinTrack is because you have to file a report with them. In the fiscal year of 2024-2025, their budget was $109 million. They have 372 full-time staff plus temps, so around 500 employees. In this article, it notes that they receive 36 million individual reports and disclosed 2,000 intelligence reports to law enforcement. How many people do you think got prosecuted or went to jail? Not just last year, but in the entire history of FinTrack existing, that their intelligence led to prosecutions. 8 times. And only once was there a conviction. $100 million a year and 500 employees. And the banks are complaining that it's too invasive. They're not like, what are these people actually doing is the only point I'm trying to get. There's just so much of it. Advisory to the financial institutions on illicit financial schemes and methods related to the trafficking of fentanyl and other synthetic opioids. 2019, you go through this and they mention again that Canada is a money laundering and international export hub for drugs. Canadian trials decriminalizing cocaine, MDMA, and other drugs. This is from 2022. We went full speed ahead with this. I covered this yesterday. When you make an official supply that can't be differentiated from the illicit supply, you enable hiding illegality in plain sight. They have marketed this, safe supply, needle exchange, decriminalization, loose bail conditions. They've marketed this as compassionate for addicts. So taking a violent offender who robs people on the street so that they can funnel money into their drug habit, releasing them back into the public so that they can reoffend is the compassionate solution. Giving them hard drugs via the government is somehow helping them get off those drugs. That's not what it's about. I'm guilty of this as well, framing this debate the wrong way. They're not trying to help these people, for one, but they're creating an environment where you can hide the criminality in plain sight everywhere. So when you see addicts all over your streets, when you see tents, when people are mail ordering cartel weed through the mail, they're able to get away with it because it's impossible to identify cartel supplied drugs from the legal supply. And the legal supply, everywhere it's trialed by design, has a higher price than you can get those things on the black market, again, by design. They want a certain percentage of the plebs. That's how they see you. That's not what I'm calling you. That's how they see you. They want a certain percentage of you going to those legal licensed stores and legal licensed sources to give them some validity. But in general, they're hoping you'll go on the internet and order your MDMA or your cocaine or your fentanyl or your marijuana or your mushrooms or your acid or any other drug of your choice from the various companies that offer those cartel drugs mailed securely through Canada Post to your door. That's what they want you to do. So BBC is once again just doing a puff piece on behalf of Canada about what we are doing. This is puff pieces. We can just get rid of these. U.S. charges ex-TD Bank employee with helping to launder money to Colombia. The importance of this is that this is TD Bank, Toronto Dominion, a Canadian bank operating in the United States. We regulate the hell out of American banks, so they can't do business their way here in Canada. But we're all over the United States. And this, importantly, is since they were fined $3 billion. They were still doing it. They're still doing it now. TD is just the only bank that got caught. They're all in on this, and it appears with official support from the government. The headline is from August 2024. This is Sam Cooper, a hero, trying to tell this story too. PRC narcos in Toronto are command and control for North American money laundering networks used in TD Bank case. So we'll just scroll down and we'll read. Chinese state triad nexus. David Asher claims that Chinese triads like the 14K and Sun Yun have been co-opted by the Chinese Communist Party to facilitate global money laundering and drug trafficking. Toronto Command Center U.S. investigations. U.S. investigations. Not Canada. We're not doing this. We're not trying to find this. The Americans are, and they don't trust us, as I've covered in other videos. Officially documented. They don't trust the CBSA, Canadian Border Services, or the RCMP. They think they're compromised, so they don't share intelligence with them anymore. That's where Canada's at. The world knows what we're doing. Toronto Command Center's U.S. investigators indicate the key command and control operations for North American money laundering are based in Toronto and other Canadian cities. Chinese international students used as mules tasked within Beijing's foreign influence arm, the United Front Work Department. Chinese students are systemically used to deposit fentanyl cash for triads and Mexican cartels into North American banks. TD Bank under fire for being fined. So on and so forth. The Chinese, and this is who we are allying ourselves with, is the Communist Party of China. They can't fight a direct kinetic war with North America and with the Americans, who are the single greatest source of opposition to Chinese hegemony in the world today. Trump recognizes this, and he is trying to reconstitute the United States as a North American dominant empire so that the Chinese are left to fight it out over the old world. Vessels linked to cable sabotage return to China or vanish from tracking systems. China operates massive hacking networks. They have infiltrated our society through drugs and money laundering. They seek to undermine us in every single way they can that is outside of kinetic warfare, because kinetic warfare leads to mutually assured destruction. So in the absence of being able to fight a direct war, they fight an indirect war. They seize upon, through their influence in Hollywood, they seize upon our cultural icons like the Lord of the Rings and Star Wars, and they undermine them with DEI nonsense to make them completely unpalatable to the public and destroy and warp the public mind. They fund DEI initiatives, which in China are banned. Effeminate men are banned as influencers. You have to be a real man, because they know. They fund DEI projects here through our universities to confuse and destroy our young people and create the mental illness and disease that you see on full display in your governments and in your culture and in some of your influencers. These people, godless, vacuous, in denial of what they were born, thinking they were born in the wrong bodies. This is all a result of Chinese foreign influence. In the absence of kinetic war, they fight a psychological war. They are winning. Another one. Justice Department announces 8 indictments. This is from 23. Against China-based chemical manufacturing companies and employees. You go through the document. You find out these companies are operating here in Canada, providing precursor chemicals for drugs. Man, it's just... You get to a point with it where you feel like you're providing all the receipts. You're so thoroughly right. I'm so thoroughly right about this subject. I couldn't be more right. And you're fighting to get your voice heard above the noise of propaganda and the repetition of the vain, of the ignorant, of the people who want to look like they're right instead of being right, throwing around the stupid 1% number or finding a graph that they found in some mainstream media article as if it solves all of these problems and with a magic wand waves all the facts away that I'm providing in these videos. How Chinese gangs are laundering drug money through Vancouver real estate. This was 2018. I did cover this one in a previous video. Talks about how the amount of money being laundered through Vancouver led directly in 2018 to a 5% rise in what real estate is worth. Do you understand the volumes and billions of dollars that that represents? And here we are again at 20 minutes. People say, why don't you keep your videos shorter? How am I supposed to keep them short? There's so much content. Well, the entire political class in Canada aligns to support this man who clearly has a nose problem, Daniel Smith, too, pulling liquor off store shelves, virtue signaling to the rest of Canada, aligning with Team Canada when it comes to the tariff war, aligning with Team Canada when it comes to Ukraine. Any hope that Alberta had that it would be any different in Alberta has pretty much been dashed in the last week, all while your MPs in Ottawa are fixed to give themselves between $7,900 and $15,000 and $800 in pay raise in 2025. Like I've said before in many videos, they gave themselves raises through COVID. They're going to give themselves raises now. They're going to engage a tariff war, which is going to destroy your purchasing power. But the entire time, they're going to have catered food. They're never going to miss a meal. They're never going to be late on their rent. They're going to talk about the resolve and resilience of the Canadian people, and what they mean is your suffering. Please check out the videos that I talked about early on in the video. And if you like this work and you want more of it, please consider supporting via the website. And I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon. And I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.